Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 1 of season 3 of the Thanks for Trying podcast. I am Corian, aka The Last Skeptic, and the first thing I should say is a huge, huge apology to everyone who's been waiting exactly a year. Mostly I've been writing a new album, which is out now. It's called See You in the Next Life. I'm sure you have seen me spam the world with it. And if you have heard it, you know it is an entire album inspired of the journey through a breakup. So you can put two and two together and you know that's also a reason why I had to take a little break from releasing the podcast. But I've been slowly recording it throughout 2019. So season 3 is going to be a little strange because there might be episodes where the context doesn't make sense to you because it was recorded in April. Or there's an episode that I did live at Glastonbury Festival in June or July, whenever the fuck it was. Whatever happens is super honest, it's ridiculous, and as always, it is very, very boozy. So please, if you haven't already, go and stream See You in the Next Life. Thank you so much to everyone who sent me lovely messages about the album. It's been crazy, it's been a very cathartic and therapeutic process for me to release the album. So, I just thank you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you everyone also who's been messaging me every day asking when the podcast is coming back. So this is for you. That encouragement made me want to do it, even though some days I was like, bro, everyone's got a fucking podcast, who wants to hear mine? So thank you, I appreciate that. Episode 1 features someone I was so excited to record, and as you can see, and as you can hear rather, I think it's pretty fucking boozy. Without further ado, this is Thanks for Trying podcast season 3 episode 1 part 1. We had to do it in two parts because it got too out of hand. Big thank you to Patron for the bottle that they sent. Enjoy this and don't listen around kids.
Headphones, you're not allowed headphones.
I like the sound of my voice.
I mean, that's fair. This is why I wear the headphones, because I love the sound of my own voice. So the mic is pretty directional.
Hello?
Is
gonna
be, there you go. Lovely. Right. Look at that.
Are we recording?
My God, we're recording.
Oh, shit.
I like all this preamble, because that's the good shit.
People that, I always feel like when I listen to a podcast, my favorite podcasts ever are the ones where you feel like you just end the conversation. Where
just in the middle.
Eavesdropping, voyeuristic.
Yeah, exactly.
What's audio voyeurism called?
Auravism.
So are we,
get
are we
some of that auravism.
Usually your guests, are they drunk like during of? Because I've only had 2 pints of gin and tonic, but I went to the gym earlier. So,
big man talk.
Oh, what are you lifting that? Yeah,
wait, is it? Is it? I happened to go to the gym earlier.
Sorry, just to say, I went to the gym earlier and I've had 2 pints of gin and tonic and they are absolutely.
I'm actually in the gym right now. We're doing this.
I wouldn't say I'm battered. I'm just like.
This is good. This is what I want. So I think a lot of people, they have. Usually it's me that's drunker than everyone else. I'm not going to lie. Usually it's me.
I feel like I'm drunker than you.
All right. I was so nervous about meeting you. Cheers. Pleasure to meet you. And with that lovely intro, this is the Thanks for Trying podcast season 3. I don't know if it's episode 4 or 5. Who gives a fuck? It's all going to happen later. I don't give a shit. Usually I go straight in. What people are drunk. I've had a little bit. You know,
we're under the flight path here, by the way. Do I need to close the window? Can you hear the?
Oh, I can hear that. Look at that. But yeah,
I think that adds to the ambience. Yeah, look, they'll be like,
we're actually in the airport right now. We're about to go on a private jet.
And so people are like, I don't know who this example guy is. I only listen to this podcast because Taikai Waititi was on it. But whoever this example guy is, he clearly lives under the Heathrow flight path.
And I'm gonna find his house. Because 99% of my listeners have lisps. 99% of them. It's but a fact. It's a little known fact.
99% of your listeners. Wait, I don't want to have
my listeners.
Mate, stop holding your pint of your fucking laptop. I'm getting so pranked.
Sorry. I've never spilled. I've never spilled anything on my laptop. Although the other week I did drop
When you were watching Pornhub, you know?
Yeah, and I'm aggressively wanking, and I've got the laptop strapped to my stomach in a safety harness. You know what? When I stupidly smashed my laptop up by accident the other week, like never done it before.
The last smashed up,
and it literally I was up. I don't like people ringing on my doorbell. This is another story. Into a rant as well. Doorbell, yeah. Well, you know, like the buzzer with the little intercom thing, right? Let me just move that over there.
Cool.
And this is another story, but I hate it because I hate people, you know, interrupting me in my life. So someone rang it.
Sorry you had to come round here today, mate. Sorry.
This is such a fucking bully. No, so someone rung it and I was like, you know what? I'm going to look on the intercom and see who they are. Then I'm going to look out the window and see when they've left because I'm not trying to answer this door.
Yeah.
You know, it's normal people stuff. So
I get pranked when everyone's knocking. Like, I don't. Like, unless I know Deliveroo's coming,
yeah.
You know, I'll drive. By the way, shout out to Tyler because all the alcohol delivered today for this alcoholic podcast was. I just love it. I find it hilarious that Deliveroo feel they can connect you by naming your driver. It's like,
By the way, your driver is called Tyler and he's on the way. Mm. And
it makes you not want to assassinate him when he arrives. And
your driver is Aziz. But other than Deliveroo people.
What name would be, I'm going to kill that guy. What name would do that for you?
A fake name.
Oh, really? Not like a Benedict.
Like your driver is called Patatas Bravas. Right. Like, this guy is definitely spitting in my food.
No, whoa. Mr. Brothers, I've been expecting you.
I just don't like unexpected calls. Like, I feel like...
No, I don't like unexpected calls.
I mean, like, look, if you're listening and you know where Example lives, or you even know who Example is, and you want to come around and try to rob me...
Three important points.
I am the opposite of bling. Like, I've got a couple of nice cushions.
He's got some real nice cushions. I'm here. We're in his house right now.
We're in my yard. Unless you can steal my River Thames view, there's nothing. I don't have expensive jewellery. I don't have any cash in the house. I feel like I'm putting this out as a disclaimer.
Yeah. Look, if someone is come, I would say I would take the big candle.
I had the cleaner in today. Made me spit gin and tonic on my floor.
That's the first thing I would go for. It's a really good, it's a really girthy, robust candle. You know what I mean? That would burn, I would say, for a good like 100+ hours. There's a lighter on it already. So if you're robbing it and an arsonist, two things ticked at once.
Yeah, do you know what? I've got some mates, I'm not going to name names, but they put on, you know, whilst we're on the subject, they put on their Instagrams every now and again, they're wearing this watch and that watch and, you know what I mean? You know, post a picture of your kids. Like, it's unlikely someone's going to come around and nick your kids. You know what I mean?
Brilliant.
I don't know how much my kids are worth.
Yeah.
If you do nick them, bring them back after day. Give me a day off and then.
Yeah. Feed them.
A lot of people are like, oh, I can't believe I got my watch robbed. It's like, the reason you got your watch robbed is because you posted a picture of it. You know, that's why I tend to post pictures of, you know, cheap hoodies, old socks, bags of spinach.
Gone
and
that way,
no one ever tries to rob you because they're like, I don't want some old spinach.
this guy, what's he got?
The most expensive thing that's ever been in this apartment.
Human life
and your laptop and your microphone setup.
That I'm going to be spilling my vodka on. Momentarily. So the guy's at my door and I'm like
yeah, sorry,
fuck.
Yeah, back to your door.
There's no plan to the podcast because this always happens every time.
I'm gonna shut up for 5 minutes.
No, I don't want you to shut up. This is the whole point. So, and I'm turning my phone. I don't want to see my phone. So, all right, so I get up in a rush and I'm like, oh, fuck that guy at the door. I hope he's gone. Knock my laptop off the thing, falls on the floor, crack, the whole screen just goes off. Immediately, I'm panicked. I'm like, fuck, this is gonna cost me a lot of money.
Replace the screen?
Replace the screen. Apple were really nice.
Warranty?
No warranty. £400 it cost me.
Wow.
So that was really upsetting. Moral of the story is, I mean, there isn't one, but that was the first time that I broke my
laptop. I tell you how to avoid this. Stop podcasting, mate. Get a prop job.
Yeah, you know what I mean? True story.
Get into music.
I should get into music one day, man. You know, I should make a record
or
something.
No, do you know what? Actually, this is like, it sounds like one of those first world problem stories. I went down, I smashed my screen. No, my son smashed my screen.
Oh no.
On my laptop.
Never let him forget it until he's got like the wrestling ring.
Well, he's two,
he really likes.
But he walked across the room in his UGG boots because my missus thought it'd be funny to buy a 2-year-old UGG boots in 30-degree heat in Brisbane. He walked across the laptop, smashed the screen. I went down to the Apple, and it's called a Genius Bar. No one there's a genius. And then I'm like, they're like, yeah, the wait's 2 hours. You're walking. Then luckily, some guy recognised me, and he was like, hi, mate. Oh, didn't you play at Future Music Festival like 5 years ago? I was like, yeah, I'm thinking, right, I'm going to get pushed right to the front of the queue. And he went, yeah, I watched you said it was great. And I was like, yeah, can you fix my screen? Yeah, he was like, nah.
What?
So then I went to like, you know, the generic laptop fixers.
Mr. Apple, man. They've all got ridiculous names. Like,
Mr. Screen. Here's it going, mate? Welcome to Mr. Screen, you know? And I turned up there and, you know, it was a grand. Fuck, mate. I'm going to close the window because
that was
the flight path. It sounds like we're in...
it's tough being in the airport. I'm just going to do it when you... Well, he's doing that. I'm just going to do my monologue. I've been waiting for this opportunity for a long time.
Right.
To practice my Macbeth.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I feel your pain, but yeah.
It was fucking horrible. Like, it was actually £500. I was so... It was like, had to go into savings. I cried, man. I mean, I didn't cry. I just cry wanked. over literally a broken screen because I couldn't even look at porn. So, that was the end of that.
Excuse me, genius. Hello, my name's Adam. Here to help. Look, all right, you fucking genius. Look, something wrong with my screen. There's spunk all over it.
It's jizz all over it. So this, I remember the point now. My point, what I was going to say is,
look, when they fixed it. My laptop stuck to my belly button.
Like this, so this is the point of the story is that when I got it replaced, they replaced the whole screen, right? Everything, and it was clean.
What did you expect them to?
I mean, true, the screen was broken, but like he replaced everything, and I looked at it and I went, oh my god, it looks so brand new. Because we give it a good clean and everything. I said, bro,
I know what you're getting with
this. Right. I said, bro, whatever you do not put a UV light over that last screen.
If you've just joined us, you're listening to a couple of wankers. I'll be honest, mate, I've never bust on my screen ever. Like, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, fair enough.
I've like, if my missus ain't about, I've got a dartboard to the side of the bed to aim for. You get
right,
me?
Fair play. Yeah, exactly. And I've got a little Hoover for that.
Imagine if Dyson released like some
the spunk Hoover.
Are we going to cut this? No, we're going to keep
this
in.
This is gold.
Yeah.
This is fucking quality.
You should check out The Last Skeptic, man. They had this guy on who was talking about vacuuming spunk.
Vacuuming
it was so
spunk.
Good.
Look, I went on Rinse the other week just for a little like 11 a.m. nice morning interview. I don't know how, but 2 minutes in, I was talking about fisting a loaf of bread.
On Rinse FM?
On Rinse FM at 11 a.m.
Yeah, but that's one of the only stations you can get away with that.
I don't know if I could. It was FM. A lot of people were pretty upset.
Yeah, because when you hear FM... Mate, stop holding your pint glass over your laptop. Mate, I get so... Do you know what it reminds me of, yeah?
I'm just like, there you go. I want to make sure.
What it reminds me of is when I'm on a...
That's great. This is like some jazz presenter shit. Yeah.
Welcome to the leader. It's like the skits on Doggy Style, isn't it?
Yeah.
You listen to the Jack of Bow. This is DJ EZD. Everybody. Anyway, so...
Yeah, go on.
If you're an air stewardess, or you can't call them that, can you? You have to call them flight attendants now. You'll be there working on your laptop.
It happens.
You know, the only time you're not wanking on a flight, on your laptop.
This thing works for things other than porn?
Mate, and they hand you a drink. Hello, darling. Or if they're from EasyJet. All right, love. And they hand you a hot drink over your laptop.
Yeah.
Stop passing hot drinks over my laptop.
Yeah, don't do that, no.
Right? Because then I've got to go down the genius bar and meet some non-geniuses in blue t-shirts. Hello, my name's Liam. I'm here to fix your broken...
It's always Liam.
But do you know the worst thing? You haven't got kids, have you?
I do not have kids, luckily.
Well,
not that I know
you
of.
You will have and they'll be lovely.
Maybe,
but,
who knows?
Right, I've got two kids and when it really gets my goat...
Mm-hmm.
I've never said that before.
Oh my God, I love it
really
already.
Really
you're going to be great at Under the Patty on
really
the second half.
It really gets my goat, right? When you are in a restaurant... And you're, I don't know, maybe you're waiting for, you know, scrambled eggs on toast, but nowadays they sprinkle truffle oil on it because everyone's a...
I'm not mad at truffle oil. I'm mad when they put too much lime on it. Why are you putting lime on my eggs, bro?
Go home, lime. Right?
Sorry.
Anyway, so the young staff, you know, whoever they are, and this applies to both Australia, where I live, and London, mm-hmm. and you know, mm-hmm. other places I've been. I've been to many countries.
Whoa.
They always hand you hot drinks over your kid, right? And I put a tweet out about a year ago, and I went, here's a message to all flight attendants. Stop passing hot drinks over people's laptops. And if you work in a cafe or bar, stop passing hot soup, hot coffees, hot teas over toddlers' heads.
Yeah.
And do you know the response I had? Anyone who was a parent replied with, yeah, do you know what? That really fucks me off. Or, you know, gets my goat. No one says that anymore.
I hope they do.
But, and then the amount of people who are either waitresses, waiters, flight attendants, that replied and went, well, it shouldn't be in there. And you're like, what? So where do you want my kid to sit? You want my...
What's wrong with my kid?
So you're telling me if I come to your cafe...
Yeah.
...that I should move my kid...
Yeah.
...like, what, 3 metres away? Mm. Like, feed him with a 6-foot spoon?
Yeah. I mean, I would like a 6-foot spoon, but that's different.
Yes, mate, 6-foot spoons are great. If you're at, like, a party...
Yeah.
...off your nut...
Mm.
...and your mate's trying to serve you and...
Yeah. We all know where that's going.
He's too ketted out his nut to actually get at you. A 6-foot spoon. No, but seriously... Imagine being such a fucking imbecile that your response is like, oh yeah, do you know what? Thank you, example. Fair play. I'm going to take that on board. Yeah. Next time in a cafe, I'm not going to pour, like carry and pass a boiling hot like cup of tea over your two-year-old's kid. Oh, it's the kid's fault.
It's the kid's fault, man.
Like, he should be older and he should be able to walk.
Yeah. He was asking for it by sitting there.
He should be bigger and in a human chair. And you know what? If I spill a bit of like chamomile tea... No one drinks chamomile tea, do you?
I do.
If I spill this nettle tea on your two-year-old's head and he has to go to Chelsea and Westminster Hospital and have a skin graft from his thigh applied to his forehead, that's your fault for sitting him in a high chair in my stupid part-time cafe job. So if you're listening, fuck off.
Yeah, and you know what?
I've
got kids. And the thing is, if this was under the patio, that would be their punishment. So that's the second half.
Mate, I can't wait for under the patio.
We're going to go in.
Do you know who's death penalty, mate? Part-time cafe hot drink passes.
I mean, hot drink passes.
And if you've got any people listening today,
I probably don't. I'll be honest.
Waitresses, you can't even call them flight attendants anymore.
You hammered that home like 4 or 5 times. It's political.
It started off as air steward, air stewardess. Then it became flight attendant. Now it's flight people. Now it's
flight people.
Plane people. Makes them sound like they're absolutely boring.
You
flights.
Know what? All of my friends say that's my type of girl. I wish I was joking, you know?
Boring. She's lovely. She suits you. She's such a plain person.
She's just plain, yeah.
Who's she work for? Hello, we're talking about me, are you? Harry Lingus. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I heard the podcast and I do not pass hot drinks over babies' heads or laptops.
Well, Orla, I...
Orla! Or Ashleen.
Well, Ashleen... You know what? You found your perfect man. Messaging to me. You're a plain person. And your name.
Your name's Orla.
Wow.
I sound like.
It was really good.
I sound like Dara O'Brien.
You really did. It was so convincing.
On. Hello and welcome to Mock the Week.
Jesus Christ. I like that you put 8 H's in mock.
Mock the Week.
Mock the. I can't. I'm not good with it. I went to Ireland recently for the first time, actually.
It's called Ireland.
Oh, man. And fucking Dingle. I went to Dingle. It was sick.
Dingle.
It's fucking beautiful. The Ring of Kerry.
Right.
Ring of Kerry is fucking fantastic.
The thing that is, it's not confuses me. Obviously, I know the history of like what's going on there, and they've had a fucking tough time.
Yeah, it's awful.
But we when I did an MTV gig, MTV Presents, and it was in Derry. Just before you go on stage, the promoter comes up and he's like, "Every time you say, you know, make some noise. How you doing? He's like, London. What are you saying?" So he's like, "You have to say." Derry, Londonderry.
Right.
Because, and I'm thinking, I know the history of the place and it's a very, you know, sensitive subject. And it just feels a bit awkward giving a place two names.
Yeah.
I respect it.
People get pissed off when you say Londonderry.
But then you're like, half, you know, I don't know what the percentage is, but like half the crowd are going to be like, why did he call it Londarian? And the other half's like, why did he call it Darien? It's just like, I just went on stage and went, what are you saying in Ireland? And then you come off and then like some people are like, some people don't regard themselves as it's like,
that's just, you have to go, hello human beings.
But do you know what? Ireland, Northern Ireland, because you can say, sometimes I'll tweet, UK and Ireland tour, playing Belfast, and we're doing that. And then some people will be like, oh great, you come to Northern Ireland. Some people are like, it's just called Ireland.
Right.
And you're like, cool, I get that, fair enough. You know, it's like...
No, look, it's tough. And also because as British people, which what I found when I went over there and saw my Irish friends, that we as English people are so undereducated.
We think we know, but especially our generation, we only know what we saw in the news.
Exactly.
And we don't know the full story at all.
Precisely. And so I thought myself, like, I kept asking questions going, this happened here? I don't understand what the beef is. Like, I know we fucked up. But just tell me how and why because I want to learn and educate myself. And to be honest, I was too drunk the whole time to even remember anything I learned.
Yeah.
So
shout out
everyone over
there. They don't drink over there in Northern Ireland. Ireland.
Just in the island. Okay, so
what should we talk about now? Come on.
Thanks for trying podcast. I haven't even introduced the show yet. So,
hello and welcome to another episode of
podcast. It could be, as I said, it could be episode 4, it could be episode 5. I don't know. With my special guest, Example. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, everyone. I'm Elliot from Example.
I'm Elliot, the lead singer of the band.
No, but
Example.
Said like a boy band. You know, boy bands have to learn to all speak at the same time. So, like, if you're One Direction, they go, "Hi, we're One Direction," and the hardest thing about being a boy band is not the breakup or like traveling the world. It's learning to speak at the same time
in unison. Yeah,
they have to say. So if they're like, catch us later on MTV at 9 p.m. Yeah. I've heard rumours that they do 127 takes. Just go,
what?
Hi, we're One Direction. Catch us later at 9 p.m. And then like Zayn Malik all of a sudden says like 8 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. And they're like, we've got to do it again. We've got to do it again. And that's the only reason I didn't want to be in a boy band. Because I've been offered loads of boy bands.
No way.
No, I haven't.
No, see, I thought you had.
I'm too. Look at my teeth, mate. I'm too. Good looking. I was destined to be a solo act.
I'm too fat to be in any boy band unless they do like.
Unless James Corden started one.
You know, then I'm fucking in.
They're called the Cordon Bleus.
If they do a boy band called the Fat Stathams, I am fucking. I am fucking in. That's all I want.
Hey, you smashed it. We haven't even had any tequila.
We haven't even had tequila. Look, my podcast is just a vehicle for me to pretend I'm a stand-up comedian. Look, I'll be real. I've had 3 seasons deep. I've had all the best stand-ups in the world on this podcast.
Okay.
It's just a vehicle for me to kind of...
Mate, honestly,
pretend.
When I got offered this, right? Obviously, I knew who you were.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, I've listened to a couple episodes. Mm. Not because you, because some of my friends are on there.
For the guests, for the friends.
And then I was like, we're going to get on.
Yeah.
I was like, you know, I can see like we've got a lot of the same interests and...
We're both angry.
I'm not really angry.
I'm angry. Okay.
No, I like venting my anger at certain shit. Like, fucking, you know.
I thought you were going to say pedophile. Let me just vent my...
No. Do you know what? The only thing worse than a part-time cafeteria worker passing hot chocolate over a baby's head is a paedophile part-time cafe worker. No, mate, it's a genuine pleasure to have you in my apartment. I don't let anyone else around here usually unless they're like my missus.
Oh, my God. Look, that's a great honour.
I wouldn't say it's an honour, mate. You know, it's a...
I was talking to that guy over there.
Security. Imagine if I had security here, like I give him the nod.
Yeah, that's it.
Elliot, would you want me to remove the last skeptic? Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're skeptic.
Yeah, I think Corin said something a bit mean. Take him out. Okay, so like I told you before we started recording, I said I haven't even prepared anything today at all. Not even a sandwich. Or as you so eloquently said, a sandwich.
A sandwich.
No, I didn't even. I just put 4 talking points that are really...
Mate, that's just the cursor on your laptop. That's not a talking point.
I'm literally there's a drawing of a dick I'm pointing at. You can't see it right now. It's just a really...
you Googled my face and you
I found that. And you can answer these really... You can ask these really quickly because then I can go back
to... That's your way of going to stop giving really long, boring answers, isn't it?
No, it's because I don't like doing interviews, man.
I love quick fire rounds. So go.
Okay, maddest shit that's ever happened on tour.
Maddest.
Should we go fucking hell?
Right, let me do a really concise, really quick version.
Okay, go on.
I played a gig in Belgrade. Mm-hmm. Come off stage, some fella come up to me and said, "Do you want to come perform at my club?" It was a boat. A lot of the clubs are on like little barges. Went down there, plied me with alcohol and other stuff.
Yep.
Made me get up and perform "Change the Way You Kiss Me."
Yep.
Which, you know, if you're listening from America, you'll know me from such hits as "Change Me." I've got other songs, but anyway,
it's a classic.
Got up, and then it was sort of like, I wouldn't say I was kidnapped, but I was sort of like firmly ushered into a vehicle, taken back to a yacht. Sounds great, until we got there. You know that bit in Taken at the end of Taken where they end up on that yacht and it's all a bit... let's just say I was sort of being held hostage and made to perform karaoke of my own songs.
No.
Yeah. There was drugs there. There was hookers there. I'm not into one of those hookers. But
I
was trying to leave the boat, but it was one. You know when someone gives you a little pinch or a squeeze on the shoulder, as in like
and you're in Belgrade, man.
As in like you can't leave. I didn't feel like I was going to get shot or stabbed.
Yeah,
I just felt like I was very aggressively being told to stay. And it would be best for me if I didn't. And then they all realise it would be... They're probably gangsters. I mean, they definitely weren't IT consultants. And then they were trying to wind me up that they were like sailing to Croatia the next day and I was going to go and perform in their club. Anyway, I just sort of panicked and jumped off the boat.
No, what, into the water?
Well, not into water, like just onto the dock, the jetty. Yeah. And sort of sprinted back to the hotel, ran up to my room, had a shower, looked at the time, came back downstairs. It was bus call. We were going to our next gig, which was like Switzerland. And my tour manager's like, "What the fuck's happened to you? Where are you? Like, you look like a shaggy dog." And I was like, "You will not believe." Like,
you know. But why weren't they there?
I mean, this is the thing. It's like, looking back, it's like, I wasn't threatened with a gun or a knife. I wasn't like, but just the vibe of being there, it was like, you know, those guys from Taken, you know, Liam Neeson's very special set of skills.
Yeah.
They were these kind of guys.
Yeah, I know.
And looking back now, it was probably actually, I could have just pushed them out of the way and gone, "No, I'm going back to my hotel, you twats." But for whatever reason, I was drunk enough to stick around. And it's like...
It's when you're not in like a zone where you know the surroundings and terrain.
And you're in Belgrade.
You can't... Like, I did a show in Ukraine and I remember I was definitely being looked after by the mafia. Yeah. To the point where
Ukraine, we went into this place by accident, and I do honestly mean by accident. We were looking for a restaurant. We were in the basement of our hotel and there was a strip club. There were about 7 or 8 strippers sort of sat looking bored because there was no customers in there.
Right.
And as we tried to leave, this like 8-foot Ukrainian, you know, like Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV vibes, stood in front of me and went, "You must pay." I'm like thinking, we came in here by accident. We want to go and find a restaurant, you know. Yeah. I was determined to find chicken Kiev in Kiev. Couldn't find it, right? I swear I couldn't find it. And he made us like give money to each of these strippers. Like, wow. I mean, it's not a great story, but it's just like, that's the culture shock. You go to these places and it's like, you know, I didn't feel like I was going to die.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you could say the most exciting thing that's happened on tour is like getting to headline the other stage at Glastonbury, but I prefer the yachts with like...
100%.
"You will now perform kickstarts for me and my prostitute friends." Because it's a great story.
It's great. Yeah, it's fucking fantastic. No, in
and I survived.
Yeah, like when I did the show in Ukraine, I was like, "Look, I love Valium. I'm going to want some Valium for the flight home." And so I said to them, "Can you get me some?" To the guy, because I sensed he obviously was a man that could procure anything I asked for. And he drove me to a police station.
Brilliant.
Which is great. I sat outside for like 10 minutes. He came out and he had Valiums for me. Don't know what else. I don't know.
So what you're saying is, if you're struggling with depression or sleep deprivation, go to
the police
in Kiev.
No, this was Lvov.
I swear, mate. I went to about 11 after we got out of this place where they tried to. wouldn't say held hostage. I like saying held hostage because it embellishes the story and makes me sound cool.
Look, it's great, yeah.
It's fine. Because like most people have got stories like, yeah, I remember like where I was held at gunpoint. I haven't got those stories, so I'm like...
I got one of those.
Yeah. Well, I think there's some of them with the weirder ones.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, I'm doing a 20-minute answer.
No. And next question. The thing is, you know what the mad thing is that in 34 or 5 episodes of this podcast, I've still never told my epic story about being held at gunpoint and then breaking my arm. And I'm not going to say it today. I'm just hinting at
save
it today.
Save it for a better guest is what I'd say.
No, I'm going to save it until I'm doing it live in front of an audience.
Okay. Can I come down to the live podcast?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. So this guy... I've had so many ridiculous fucking adventures doing shows, especially like in Syria or driving through Syria and then Lebanon. DJed in Syria and DJed in fucking Lebanon. And we drove from Damascus.
No offense. And I know all about you and I know what you do. Like, how do you go about or how does this happen? I'm not suggesting that you don't deserve to go to Syria or Lebanon. I'm just like saying where and how do people approach to get this booking.
Yeah. Look, I've done some mad shows, man. Like, I've played Coachella and South.
Yeah, I know you've done Coachella. Yeah, crazy. I've never done Coachella. It's fucking amazing you've done Coachella.
Yeah, it's sick.
Like, what I'm saying is, like, how do you end up...
in Syria.
Because I thought it was mad when I went to, you know, like, Beijing and, like, Seoul and, like...
I've never been there.
But...
It's amazing, yeah. And look, I think with Syria, so I was working with an amazing rapper I'll tell you the story.
Just name drop.
Called Eslam Jawad, right?
He's incredible.
Yeah, so this was before all the madness. Thank you very much. Before all the madness kicked off in like 2010.
You know when you're recording again for what we're chatting about?
Yeah, and we're recording right now. Well, this is also, can I just say,
first tequila.
This is the first time that we've done shots before the half time, and I love it.
I don't give a fuck, mate. Right. Mate, you're in my apartment.
That's the first shot.
I didn't even know I had shot glasses. I thought they were egg cups.
I thought they were egg cups. So yeah, we just Eslam Jawad sorted out the show in Damascus. Went through there, DJed. It was incredible. Damascus is to this day my favorite city I've ever been to in the world. It was so beautiful. Went to that.
So I'm jealous, but I'm just like I love that. It's amazing.
It's amazing.
That.
Like walking through like the little alleyways, like at 4 a.m. drunk after the show, and then he took me to the biggest mosque in the world, and flocks of birds were flying through it. It's where St. John the Baptist's head is apparently buried. It's fucking amazing.
Where's his elbow buried?
Where's his elbow?
That's the question.
Stevenage. So they travelled a long way without. He was. I want my head
back from the Crusades.
I want my head in fucking Damascus, and I want my elbow in Stevenage.
Well, he's got a bit of a weird will, but
where does he want his right ankle to go to? Grenada. What about St. Kitts and Nevis? I don't know if that has been established yet.
I want my balls to be constantly circulating.
I want my balls to be served as sweetbread on a cruise ship.
Oh, that would be amazing. What, not tell the people?
Of course not tell them. And then afterwards be like, you just ate examples, balls. Oh my God.
Face.
Can you believe? Hey, Jared, did you just hear that? You know that guy who collaborated with Calvin Harris? You just ate his left testicle in between pastry. Fuck it, wait. That is good tequila.
Patron, thank you for Patron for sending that over.
Oh, mate, how much do they pay you a year for this?
Literally nothing. So they pay me in alcohol, which to be fair is my currency. So I don't really care.
Mate, do you know, I'm sure you know this, but tequila can't, I found this out recently. Tequila can't actually be called tequila unless it comes from the region of...
Tequila?
Yeah.
There's a region of tequila like champagne?
Yeah. I think that's really cool.
So that's really. I mean, that's
I feel
upsetting.
Sorry for all
my
the other regions nearby.
Yeah,
who have got just as good stuff, but they're called like Gary. Gary in Mexico.
So you grew up around here, right?
Yeah,
Hammersmith. What would be the Hammersmith for people in Mexico if they would be drinking the Hammersmith or some? I'm going to have
a
shot at Hammersmith. What would it be?
The ends around here. Yeah, if I was going to have a gin, I'd call it Lily Road.
Okay.
I think Lily Road, people know Lily Road, it goes through like Fulham to Chelsea. Lily Road sounds like a banging gin.
Mm-hmm. It certainly does.
If I was going to have a tequila, I'd call it Goldhawk Road. Imagine Goldhawk Road.
Yeah.
Goldhawk. In fact, Goldhawk Tequila. If anyone's listening, don't fucking take that.
I'll fucking find you.
Imagine that. Like, what have you been on tonight? Patron. Like, you've been on the Don Julio in that year. No, no, fam, like, I can't lie, you know, like, I got the gold hawk. Gold, you know that new example thing, yeah? Gold, oh, shit, what, a couple gold hawks and that, yeah? Right, so...
Like gold hawk.
Yeah, just, I'm going on Dragon's Den with that.
I'd invest all of my £10 I've got in my account in that. You would get all of that time. I might save £1 of it to get myself a Greg's pasty.
I'm proper licked. I haven't been in shock in time.
This is great, man. This is what we want. Everyone that comes on this podcast gets fucked. They all say that they're not gonna, and then they all do.
Taika.
Yeah, big up Taika. Yeah, big up Taika.
I'm not gonna lie to you because I don't like lying to people. I listened to half of the podcast, but how battered did he get?
Move that slightly. So how battered did Taika get? I mean, to be honest, a lot of the time I forget how drunk people get because I get drunker.
Okay.
So
that guy is a fucking hero, man.
Yeah, yeah, he's the best, man. He's the best.
Like, I've been following that shit for years. Yeah. Like, have you seen like Hunt for the Wilder people?
It's fucking amazing.
Like,
yeah.
What We Do in the Shadows.
What We Do in the Shadows.
Do you know the mad thing now is some people come up to you and they're like, have you seen that film like about the vampires in I told you about that film 5 years ago. I went to the Curzon Cinema to see that by myself because I'm a film nerd.
Yeah.
And you're trying to fucking school me on fucking...
It's
like,
so good.
But the best thing is, and that's what I love about... Just change the subject a bit. Mm. What I love about Marvel Studios is the faith that they put into like random... Like what essentially are like indie comedy directors. Like even when... I can't even think of his name. The guy who got the job for Ant-Man.
Mm-hmm.
What's his name? I thought
the first time it was Edgar Wright, but then it got taken over.
But I forget the director's name, but he was a guy who did like Liar Liar or something like that. But he absolutely nailed
it. And then James Gunn, of course.
James Gunn, of course. Like, come from like the weirdest indie. Like, when you watch his films, like, you go, like, if I was Kevin Feige at Marvel going, who do we need to direct this? But that's why I think they've done so well. They haven't just gone, right, let's just give it to.
Yeah,
you know, not Steven Spielberg or Barry Levinson or whatever. You know, Sonnenfeld.
They want to give
or Soderbergh. They've gone, let's give it to these young kids, and they've obviously guided them, and
they've got because they've got an overarching thing of like every film has to look.
Well,
and
the
budget behind
it means that it looks incredible. You've got the best effects teams, you've got the best stunt teams, the best, like, you know, because I feel like,
you know, actually,
because I know you love your films.
I'm a big MC.
I know more about films than music, clearly. If you've heard my music, I know more about films. But no, I'm genuinely like, I'm obsessed with Marvel Studios.
I'm an MCU nerd, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and I knew that about you, and I was like, oh, let me put it off a bit because I know that once we talk about it, I want to talk about it. So, like, but what I will say is that I haven't actually spoken about this on the podcast yet because when I was doing last season, I had signed an NDA and I wasn't allowed to talk about it. And now I can, and it's so exciting.
No drinking agreement.
I will never sign one of those. So basically, if for those Marvel nerds listening to the podcast, and you've seen Endgame, obviously. I've seen it 4 times.
I've seen it 7.
What?
But I'll tell you why. I went 3 times cinema, back and forth from Australia.
Do you?
What are you going to do for 22 hours between like Brisbane?
Masturbate.
I only masturbate over laptops, you know that.
I thought you were going to say, I only masturbate over certain countries. Spain.
No fly zones.
No fly zones. Only masturbate in international waters, okay? I've got rules, all
Stop
right?
Stop talking about masturbating.
So, this is
it
what
doesn't
my podcast
define me, mate.
It defines me.
No.
Okay, all right, MCU. I can't remember what we were just talking about. So,
Endgame.
And do you cry in Endgame?
I did. The first time I saw it, I did. Because... I feel so attached to it. It's like a family thing.
100%.
I've seen Infinity War probably 20 times.
Yeah.
I've seen, out of all of the films, I've seen probably Iron Man maybe 10 times. Mm-hmm. After that, I've probably seen Guardians 1 the most.
Yeah.
And I think I've watched Infinity War for me was like a comfort blanket.
Oh my God.
And the reason 100%. I say that is like, me and my missus are absolutely, that's one of the things that me and my missus, apart from the fact, you know, Miss Australia, Miss Universe, you know, ridiculously paying. That's not the reason I love her though. You know when people go, oh, you're punching. I'm like, punching? Like, come on, mate. Like, look at her, look at me. Like, I know so much about the MCU. Like, on a real.
So
do you know what? Fundamentally,
I hate it when people say that
fundamentally,
shit.
Fundamentally, the reason why me and my missus got are so like soulmates and like we're best friends is like we're both complete nerds. Like, because yeah, people look at her Instagram and they're like, and to be fair, like she's unbelievable. And I still wake up every morning and look at her with or without makeup and go, oh my God.
So what you're saying, you're not even wearing makeup and
but
with or without makeup, she still loves you.
On the real, it's like, I see her, the first time I met her, she interviewed me on her radio show in Sydney. And I'm like, I've got absolutely no chance for this bird. I'm like, you know, A, she's famous. B, she's earning her own money. What the fuck does she want to be with me for? And then she messaged me on Twitter. And then we almost had this sort of like connection. It was just like, you know. And then we kind of both realized that we're both complete nerds. Like before she went to do like Miss Universe and FHM Student of the Year, all this, she was like working at a zoo, zoologist.
That's
like
dope.
She's a scientist. She's That's like dope. She's the biggest nerd ever.
Yeah,
and so am I. And I think, you know, you just meet in the middle somewhere. But it's like one of our favorite things to do is like we'll sit down, we put the kids to bed, and we're like, oh, should we start this new series that so-and-so's recommended on Netflix or Amazon? And then we're like, should we stick Infinity War?
Yes.
Because in a way, it's like, it's so
it's
comforting.
It's so comforting.
Because it's like...
I cry entirely through Infinity War. I cry every single... I cry every time through Endgame. And beginning to end. And I say this because, like, to be honest, I don't give a shit. I've never given a shit whether someone
even when Ant-Man, when he meets his daughter.
Yeah, it's sad, bro.
And
then when Thor's talking
at the start, when he's looking for his family now.
Bruv, that
now,
tears.
I've got kids. Like, tears if you're crying even without kids.
I'm crying without kids.
Right, I've got kids.
I got a niece, you know what I mean?
I've got a niece, I know what kids feel like.
I got a niece, son.
I know what buying presents is like for kids. What are you saying, though?
So you don't understand, I got a niece. But I cry from minute one in that film. But you know why I cry? There's lots of themes, right? Thor's mum and Thor. Come on, when you're losing a parent, you're gonna cry.
And she's like, of course I know that. I'm a witch. And then it's like, right, it's almost like she's like, I don't care whether I die or not. I'm just good to see. And she's such, in that moment, the way I relate to that the most is almost like, anyone who's like, everyone's obviously tight with them, RJ. Like, regardless of whether, you know, single parent, like mum and dad, whatever, like, you know, my mum and dad's still together, but whenever I want to get into something really deep, like my dad will give me shit about it, but it's always my mum, and it's like the way she makes shit make sense. It's almost like, I know you fucked up with that, but you know, it's okay. Yeah. And in that moment, like, in where Thor's there, and even though it's, you know, in some ways it's an action movie, it's a comedy movie, and she's like, it's okay, and he wants to tell her that she's going to die today, and she's still like, it's okay. And like, that got me. Like, I reckon I cried during Endgame probably three times the first time I saw it.
I cry constantly.
Well, even now I rewatch it, I know when I'm about to cry and I try to firm it.
I don't try and firm. I watched it the other day because I was like, I don't cry in real life. I need a film to give me permission to cry. So,
mate, when you do flights, when you watch film,
it's the pressure. I know it's the pressure.
I will cry at fucking anything on a flight.
I watched that fucking film with Irfan Khan called Puzzle the other day about an
old
man.
You're the only person who's seen that, I swear.
I'm the only person that's seen that. I think it's like some, you know, an amazing English actress. Some plain Jane. I'll take that out. English actress who I clearly was in love with because that's my type. So she was, and she's an amazing actress. And they were both.
Irfan Khan is a G.
He's
cannot fly a helicopter though.
Wow.
Have you seen Jurassic Park?
Oh yeah, yeah, I have actually.
Crashed it into the Avery. The reason Jurassic Park got fucked up is because Irfan Khan. He was like, "Nah, mate, you crashed it into the Avery, unleashed all of the pterodactyls, you absolute salad.
You like, salad.
I know you're an absolute Bollywood
you're a salad.
And you may have had 20 fucking helicopter licenses.
You're a salad. You're a
mate,
salad.
I love Irfan Khan, but stay away from
salad.
Leave it out, Gary.
Wow, come leave on, it mate. Out. All right, we're doing the second shot. This is mate. All right, cheers.
I don't want you to take anything out of this.
This is how it is.
Do you know what?
I've got stories to tell you. I haven't even finished any of those. We haven't even introduced the book.
Do you know what?
So I think, like, because look,
I tried to do hip hop, got a couple of, like, you know, lost a few arm wrestles, so it, now well, I'm nah, making house
come
music.
Come on, you on the verses, bro? Nah, I mean, come nah, on now. The but, fucking
but, you know, the funniest
them
thing
ill
is
verses,
like,
bro. Come on.
Wait, I won't.
The barring.
I won't say who, but I did a interview recently, and someone was. What magazine was it? It's quite a well-known magazine.
Yeah.
And they were like...
Hip-Hop Connection.
Hip-Hop Connection, mate. Fuck off. No, but they were actually like... they were like, look, you're actually a really good rapper. Like, why, you can tell you can spit. It's like, do you ever feel conscious of, like, you know, your upbringing and the fact you're from West London, you didn't grow up in the state and that affects your music? I'm like, no, that's not the reason. It's like, I just love music. I'm a fanboy at the end of the day. It's like I used to sit there and question integrity and credibility and... But, you know, after you've done tunes with fucking Wretch and P-Money and gigs and blah, 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 like, not that that's the reason I do it, but, like, at the end of the day, it's like, cool, I can at least put that to rest.
Yeah.
But the main thing is sort of like, they turn around and they're like, you know, because, you know, like, leave hip-hop to, I don't know, you know, leave it. And then you're like, well, look, it's not 1992.
Yeah.
That's the thing now. We're in a state, which is great, where grime, rap, whatever... where your background from, what your colored skin is, like, isn't an issue. That was an issue for me when I was 13, 14, because I went to a school, South London, where it was a mix of everyone from every background, and the only way I could get accepted was to spit.
Yeah.
And I was good at reciting all the Wu-Tang lyrics back, so it kind of gave me a little bit of protection in the playground.
Yeah, of course.
But then the funny thing is that what I put to this journalist was like, well, now you're saying, oh, you're more comfortable in house music and this and that. I'm like, well, where's that come from? It's like Chicago, Detroit, black DJs. It's like, whatever you're saying, it's like, it's not about like the culture or what it's rooted in or this or that. It's like how well you do it, with what integrity, what you're saying, what reasoning. And even at 37 now, I'm not saying it's like a thing that I battle, but it's like, I would just say to any young artist, producers out there, whatever, just make the fucking best music possible and don't worry about where you grew up, where you're from, whether your mum and dad are married, whether you grew up in a house or in a state.
From your heart, then it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but like, we're similar age. Like when I was like 16, it's like, who did I have to look up to? There was no one. You know what I mean? And I didn't even consider music. I was like, because it wasn't even about a rap thing. It was like, I knew about Eminem, and then Dizzy come along, and Streets come along, and then the Streets signed me to his label. And then there was always this pressure on my mind, which I didn't need to really have, you know? And everyone always was like, stop fucking worrying about that. It's like, you only chat about what you know, and that's the key. Is just I only talk about what you know.
Did you feel happier in the Beats days than you do, like, or because you were barring, than now, given what you've just said?
If I'm being totally honest, if I could put out a rap album, and I could, to be fair, because I'm like on my own label now, like, I would, because I love spitting and constructing bars more than anything.
People can tell that you love that because it comes across in wordplay.
But being totally honest, it's like, I go to a point, it's like, the music that I put out, whether it's house, garage, techno, drum and bass, dubstep, whatever, I've only ever released songs that I'm proud of and I love. And I realized that after a while that I should only rap and make hip hop because I knew one producer who only made hip hop music. As soon as I started venturing out there and I met MJ Cole and I met Hervé and I met Chasing Status and I met Sub Focus and I was like, is this whole new world open? And all of a sudden it was like, okay, well, I've always liked Basement Jacks and Prodigy and Chemical Brothers and Faithless. It's like, well, let's give this a go. And in a way, as I say this now, I almost feel like I'm throwing down the gauntlet to myself. I feel like I'm challenging myself. It's like, if I could release a hip-hop album that was actually successful and people listened to, that would be a huge achievement to me. I'm not saying like...
But that, fuck the success, man. No, it's about how it feels in your fucking heart.
Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. It's like, I've got all these like house techno, like global club bangers lined up. I love them to bits. I jam them to them all the time. I play them in the gym. Yeah. I play them at home. I love them. I genuinely love it. I realize I don't just love one genre. I find it really easy to make house music, techno, and just like do a little 16 bar rap. And then there's no second verse. You just repeat it again. But do you know what I mean? That's my formula. I'm doing 80 gigs a year. I'm traveling the world. I'm getting paid.
No one's complaining.
And I'm looking after my family. And it's like...
No one's complaining.
Like... 6, 7, you know, before I had kids, I never felt guilty about it. I was like, I'm actually enjoying this. It's like, why would you go out in a crowd to 60,000 people and have everyone jump in and go, yeah, oh, I shouldn't have written that song. And then you get booked in Hungary and you go headline a festival and then like, oh, I wish I'd never written that song. Do you know what? I wish I was making UK hip hop. I'm just being real with you.
Look, but it's different now.
But the thing is, I've realised after a while, it's like, it doesn't matter how good a singer you are, how good a rapper you are, how good looking you are, how this and that you are. At the end of the day, it's like, sometimes these things don't matter. It's not, and when sometimes people go, it's all about how well connected they are. But it's nothing to do with that.
Yeah,
it's nothing to do with luck. I honestly think it's like the people who are meant to do it, do it.
And also, it's the right certain, like, time for everything.
Right, like, it's not about, I hate the show The X Factor, but there is a certain X Factor that. When, comes look, down to it.
I've had this whole thing, and I'll get deep with you because I'm very drunk. as always. But like, I've been producing for a long, long time. I started rapping.
I remember your name from when I was 9.
When I was 9. I started rapping first in school with Sway.
And your new single, by the way, is fucking tough.
Thank you very much. And like, but I didn't have the confidence to be a rapper. So I produced for everyone else instead. Yeah. Even though I would be on stage hosting fucking raves, I hosted Living Proof for 5 years, like on speakers whatever, because I loved that. And when I did my live shows with my 11-piece fucking band, I would bring out Koji and bring out Trim and bring out everybody. I still didn't have the guts to be a fucking rapper. It took me to go through a fucking ridiculous breakup last year to go, actually, you know what?
I've got shit in my head
I got
that
shit
I can't
I need to say
through bass lines and percussion.
Exactly. And you know what? I know now that I'm a better rapper than most of these motherfuckers. And it's ridiculous that this is the
most... Well, even like your latest single, some of the stuff you're saying it is, it's like, it's so deep. Like, there's so many people get caught up in the technicalities and the triplets and the couplets and the punchlines and the switch this up and the pop culture references and blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of rappers out right now. I'm not going to name names because I hate doing it. And it's like, they are, the reason they're doing so well is because of the brand,
the
brand. Name, the production sometimes. And I'm like, I'm not hating. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm so happy for them.
Yeah.
A lot of them just got out of fucking jail. A lot of them like stopped fucking shotting and now they've got a fucking, you know, a legit lifestyle. Yeah. Haps for them. But I guess what I'm saying is sometimes like the best don't win. And I'm talking about singers. Like, there's people in the world, there's loads of people who are better rappers, better singers than me, whatever. I know for a fact, when it comes down to a festival and performing, people, you don't want to come on off the stage after me.
Energy.
No, but I just know that I'm like, I put on a sick show, right? And you find
but
your lane. But on top of that,
the heart
like,
of
I write,
it is you
I write
and your energy.
Songs.
That's
yeah,
the heart of
course.
It. That's
so,
the heart of it.
And I see the, you know, people, these tweets and these comments sometimes when people are like, oh, I can't believe so-and-so didn't blow. They deserved that, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, I heard their album too. I heard their mixtape.
Yeah.
They had a lot to say. They're sick. Like, the way they put their rhymes together is sick. But it's like, there's always a reason that it didn't connect. It's because, like, they pissed off too many people. Or they weren't good enough at marketing. Or they were too moody. Or they smoked too much like, whatever, some... You know, some Amdam mixture that's like sent them a bit paro. Like, there's always a reason.
Yeah, 100%.
I genuinely believe,
it's the right time.
In my experience, I've been doing this for, I'm 37, I've been doing this since I was 22.
Yeah.
The people who were meant to make it, arena level, headlining festivals, Radio 1 A-list, they've always matched that. The best have always done that.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of people who've disappeared who are like, better rappers, better singers, better than that. But I'm not saying
they didn't want it.
But
enough.
I know the reason why they
thing.
Didn't. That, you know, when people go, oh, it's so tragic that so and so never did that. And that's what I say. I'm like, I'm not going to name names. It's like, because I feel harsh saying it, but I know why they didn't. Because
no one
believed in me when I started, except for Skinner.
Yeah.
Like, and even Skinner, when Skinner signed me and Pro Green and the Mitchell Brothers back in like 2005. I remember at the time, he sort of, even my manager at the time, who kind of discovered Skinner and published him as well, he was like, I'm not really sure about the music, but he goes, I think you're a star. I think you're like an anomaly. He goes, I just want to work with you. And this was on my first album, which was like weird lad rap hip hop about like going to Pizza Express and having a fight in the cinema and, you know, shit like that. It was like, it wasn't bad music. It was just weird. It was never going to like trouble no one. At the end of that campaign in 2007, the head of Radio 1 at the time, who's now head of Apple Music, was like, example will never be playlisted on Radio 1. A year later, I'll come out and watch Sun Come Up and I had the Hooligans and, you know, the rest is history, blah, 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 blah. It's not even about that. It's just saying, it's like, the people who were meant to do it, do it.
Yeah.
I've never in my whole, and I know fucking everyone, I've met everyone, there's always a reason why they didn't. And I, you know, certain people I've said it to their face, other people I've said it to, I'm like, do you know why? Because you used to turn up to gigs late. Or do you know why? Or do you know what? Do you know why? Because he used to turn up stoned. Or do you know why? Because he used to moan about his manager. Yeah. Or do you know why? Because he told the girl at the record label that she was a fucking twat. Or he said to the guy at Radio 1 he was a bellend for not playlisting him. Or someone told him he should get his song mixed down better, but he disagreed and he went with that mix. You know, or we told him he shouldn't play that venue because it was too big to sell out and he went for it and it only sold 200 tickets. There's always a fucking reason. Honestly,
you're talking real shit.
Fucking smashing it, who's selling out Ali Pally, Wembley Arena, they're multi-millionaires, they're driving this whip, that whip, whatever. The reason they're doing that, they're either absolute stars, as in like their energy, their appearance, their chat, their social media game is strong. They're the best rappers, the best songwriters. I'm not even talking about rap specifically. Like, sometimes you get like, you know, you get an Adele, and Adele's a good mate of mine. It's like, she broke the mold because it's like, all right, you don't look like Beyonce, but you got an amazing voice and you write the best fucking songs going. And then as soon as you're off the mic, you're chatting like a stand-up comedian. You know, it's like, there's no recipe. There's
no recipe except...
But I guarantee you, there is no one out there. When people... If you're listening and you're going, oh, but I know this guy, and he was like, he should have blown. Like, he shouldn't have. Because if he should have blown...
You will.
I've seen every type of cunt who should have fucking blown.
Yeah.
And there's a reason they did or didn't.
And I think that's why now, with my rap shit, I honestly don't give a fuck whether I do or don't.
And that's the best attitude to have.
I just,
like, when I stopped giving a fuck, I did my best shit.
I just want to write records because it makes me feel better.
And if
I
but you played me that, right, your latest single, right, which I heard a snippet of last week, yeah?
Yeah.
Do you want to plug it again?
House Party Massacre, brand new single. So I don't even know when this podcast is coming out.
But I heard a snippet of it, all right, last week. And I just heard it in full today. It's just poetry.
Yeah.
Why is one song a hit and then... another's not. It's like you stumble upon it.
You stumble upon it, man. Like,
you can't write no one off.
Precisely, man. 100%. Like, I don't know. I get so many things throughout my entire career. You know, I've been lucky enough to have, I've been doing what I do.
But you smashed it. You've been around for years. Like, I've known, like, you know, we're chatting here now, but you've been a constant name in my mind. I've seen you for fucking 15 years. I've been doing this 15 years. It's like... Yeah. To be doing what you love for 15 years, it don't matter whether you're worth...
I'm happy.
And I'll tell you this now, it don't matter whether you're worth 50 million, you're worth a mil, or you're worth 100 grand, or you're worth nothing. Some of the happiest people I know are the people doing what they love and they're worth nothing. And I know people who are worth 100 million and they ain't as happy as you and me 100%. Right now.
I know directors.
So if you're listening to this right now, whatever, whether you're doing film, fashion, like poetry, music, whatever... Do what you love.
And have purpose.
Do you know what?
It's purpose.
Have good friends. One or two good friends.
Good friends.
If you ain't got a partner, don't worry about it. If you've got a partner, great, whatever. You know, if you've got your girl, your guy, whatever. Like, I've realised that. And do you know when I realised that is when I moved to Australia last year with my missus and I turned around to her one day. Well, I wasn't even high or drunk or nothing. I just said, I was like, babe, I was like, I come to this realisation. We've just been mountain biking, right, in Brisbane.
You know, sick.
If you ever go to Brisbane, go mountain biking. It's like going skiing in the Alps. Yeah, it's sick. And I was like,
bare hills.
I
don't want to go up hills. I want to go down hills.
No, but I was about to like go back to the UK for a month to do a club tour.
Yeah.
And I said, babe, I was like, I just want you to know that if we're ever broke and we live in a bungalow and I wear flip flops and shorts and a vest every day, and you just wear that same fucking gym clothing, and all we got to look forward to is mountain biking and camping, and we have a barbecue every now and again. I was like, I'll still love you more than anything and I'll still be so happy. And she looked back and she was like, I agree. And like, and that's what
she said, I'm divorced.
No, but seriously, like,
no, that's really, like, that's real. Sweet, man. I'm embittered.
Like, people will say, oh, he can only say that because he's really comfortable. It's like, no, fuck that. It's like, do you know what? If I ended up bankrupt, broke, whatever, it would make me work even harder.
Yeah, 100%.
Strive towards that.
Yeah, 100%.
It's, like, it's important, and I say this every time I do like some public speaking, whether I go to a university or a music college or I go to a charity thing. I'm like, you look at me and they're like, oh, you're like, oh yeah, it's easy for him to say, you know, he's done this and it's blah blah. It's like, all my accolades and like what I've achieved in the past is great, great memories. Mm. I'm happy for my parents that they've got to see that, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But take all of that away. If your missus or your husband, your partner, whatever, you know, is your best friend, you've got some beautiful kids, whatever you do, that's all that matters.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
You know, I'm deadly serious, mate.
Look, I'm only.
This has got a bit serious, isn't it?
It's no, I love it. The only reason I'm embittered is because I've written a whole album about being heartbroken. So on
heartbroken leads to you finding what you need.
This is true, and you know we'll pick up on that after the piss
break. We're gonna have a tequila.
True story.
Oh my days! The first ever cliffhanger. For the Thanks for Trying podcast, big thank you to Example for that, shout out to Patron, thank you for listening. If you like it, go and review it on fucking iTunes and all of that shit, because some motherfucker out there has given me like a 2-star review and it's fucked up my whole ratio. So if you go in there, do a little 5-star thing, you know what I mean, like I'll be very appreciative. I'll send you a present or something. And also the instrumental you can hear right now is that of the title track from my brand new album See You in the Next Life. So if you like this, go to Spotify, Apple, whatever fucking streaming service you use, and go and stream it right now. It's very emotional, so you know, have some tissues ready and whatnot. Next week, Example part 2, we find out the end of the story that I can't remember what it was because I haven't listened back to it before I recorded this outro, but there's something in there that needs to be resolved, and it will be in part 2.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.